You see how it works, don't you? There's some sort of danger centering at the selenium pool. It increases as he approaches, and at a certain distance from it, the Rule 3 potential, unusually high to start with, exactly balances the Rule 2 potential, unusually low to start with. Donovan rose to his feet in excitement. And it strikes an equilibrium. I see. Rule 3 drives him back, and Rule 2 drives him forward. So he follows a circle around the selenium pool, staying on the locus of all points of potential equilibrium. And unless we do something about it, he'll stay on that circle forever, giving us the good old runaround. Then, more thoughtfully, and that, by the way, is what makes him drunk. At potential equilibrium, half the positronic paths of his brain are out of kilter. I'm not a robot specialist, but that seems obvious. Probably he's lost control of just those parts of his voluntary mechanism that a human drunk has. Very pretty. But what's the danger? If we knew what he was running from, you suggested it. Volcanic action. Somewhere right above the selenium pool is a seepage of gas from the bowels of Mercury. Sulfur dioxide, carbon dioxide, and carbon monoxide. Lots of it. And at this temperature. Donovan gulped audibly. Carbon monoxide plus iron gives the volatile iron carbonyl. And a robot, added Powell, is essentially iron. Then, grimly, there's nothing like deduction. We've determined everything about our problem but the solution. We can't get the selenium ourselves. It's still too far. We can't send these robot horses because they can't go themselves, and they can't carry us fast enough to keep us from crisping. And we can't catch Speedy because the dope thinks we're playing games, and he can run 60 miles to hour 4. If one of us goes, began Donovan tentatively, and comes back cooked, there'll still be the other. Yes, came the sarcastic reply. It would be a most tender sacrifice, except that a person would be in no condition to give orders before he ever reached the pool, and I don't think the robots would ever turn back to the cliff without orders. Figure it out. We're 2 or 3 miles from the pool. Call it 2. The robot travels at 4 miles an hour, and we can last 20 minutes in our suits. It isn't only the heat, remember. Solar radiation out here in the ultraviolet and below is poison. Said Donovan. 10 minutes short. As good as an eternity. And another thing. In order for Rule 3 potential to have stopped Speedy where it did, there must be an appreciable amount of carbon monoxide in the metal vapor atmosphere. And there must be an appreciable corrosive action, therefore. He's been out hours now. And how do we know when a knee joint, for instance, won't be thrown out of kilter and keel him over? It's not only a question of thinking. We've got to think fast. Deep, dark, dank, dismal silence. Donovan broke it, voice trembling in an effort to keep itself emotionless. He said, as long as we can't increase Rule 2 potential by giving further orders, how about working the other way? If we increase the danger, we increase Rule 3 potential and drive him backward. Powell's visiplate had turned toward him in a silent question. You see, came the cautious explanation, all we need to do to drive him out of his rut is to increase the concentration of carbon monoxide in his vicinity. Well, back at the station, there's a complete analytical laboratory. Naturally, assented Powell. It's a mining station. All right. There must be pounds of oxalic acid for calcium precipitations. Holy space! Mike, you're a genius! So-so, admitted Donovan, modestly. It's just a case of remembering that oxalic acid on heating decomposes into carbon dioxide, water, and good old carbon monoxide. College chem, you know. Powell was on his feet and had attracted the attention of one of the monster robots by the simple expedient of pounding the machine's thigh. Hey, he shouted, Can you throw? Master? Never mind. Powell damned the robot's molasses-slow brain. He scrabbled up a jagged, brick-sized rock. Take this, he said, and hit the patch of bluish crystals just across the crooked fissure. You see it? Donovan pulled at his shoulder. Too far, Greg. It's almost half a mile off. Quiet, replied Powell. It's a case of Mercurian gravity and a steel throwing arm. Watch, will you? The robot's eyes were measuring the distance with machinely accurate stereoscopy. His arm adjusted itself to the weight of the missile and drew back. In the darkness, the robot's motions went unseen, but there was a sudden thumping sound as he shifted his weight, and seconds later the rock flew blackly into the sunlight. There was no air resistance to slow it down, nor wind to turn it aside, and when it hit the ground, it threw up crystals precisely in the center of the blue patch. Powell yelled happily and shouted, "Let's go back after the oxalic acid, Mike." And as they plunged into the ruined substation on the way back to the tunnels, Donovan said grimly, "Speedy's been hanging about on this side of the selenium pool ever since we chased after him. Did you see him?"
"Yes."
"I guess he wants to play games."
"Well, we'll play him games."